We've just been washed by one wave after another of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you want to just stand up and sing, "I will glory in my Redeemer"? And thank you, Mike. That was just such a wonderful assault of wave after wave of the beauty of Jesus Christ imputed to our souls. And, you know, as we enter into our time of the Lord's Supper, we're reminded how much God wants his people to be reminded of his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. We've just seen such a beautiful picture of all of that. You know, this morning I was rereading James, and I didn't get very far before I realized how unfulfilling and how hard it was. And I realized that I was reading it and I was thinking of other people's sins, and I didn't get very far when I realized that. And so I turned back to read it and to look for my own sins. Now, I did know the direction Mike was going to take this morning about this, but I began to read it rightly, to have my own sins revealed through James. And it was only then I was able to see the glory of Jesus Christ, you know, in all of it. Now, when we turn to the Lord's Supper, we turn to an ordinance that really is the fulfillment of many other pictures and ordinances in the Old Testament, and particularly in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, you have this picture where the high priest has slain the sacrificial animal, and then he goes inside the veil, he parts the veil, and he takes with him some incense and some of the blood for the sacrifice, and he takes the incense and the blood for a very specific purpose. And when he goes in, he burns the perfume in a censer, so that the cloud will fill the temple, so that the aroma of the incense of the glory of God would fill the temple. I feel like that's what just happened here today. And he did this to present the sweet smell of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ so that the glory of God would fill the tabernacle. That's what he did. And I see that this morning. This scene obviously is fulfilled in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I was reflecting on John 17 when Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he this prayer happened just before he was going to enter into the holy place and make a sacrifice for sin. He offered that prayer there. This prayer is incense, you know, before God, and he's praying. And what's he praying for? He's praying that his children would see the glory of God. That's what he's praying for. He says in verse 24 in John 17, "I desire that they whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you've given to me." And so his desire was that his children would see something, that they would see his glory. This was their greatest need. This is our greatest need, is to behold the glory of Jesus Christ. This prayer that he prays in many ways had some kind of fulfillment. Even this morning when we had one wave after another of the incense of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that's what has happened to us this morning. And God's glory is meant for so many things. It's meant to uphold his people in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their fears, in the midst of the self-consciousness of their sin, the multitude of the ways that they've violated the law of God in their lives, and to connect them with the multitude of his mercies. And so the glory of God is for that purpose. And, you know, all of this to say that only a sense of the glory of God can satisfy sinners. And it's our duty to behold the glory of Jesus Christ, just like we have this morning. And the Lord's Supper is one of the ways that we see it. But the Lord doesn't leave us there. We taste it. And we handle it with our hands. All these things designed to draw us into his glory, that his glory would be our only consolation in this world. Because there are 1,000 things that will disturb your consolation in this world. Everybody knows that. And everyone here is experiencing it in one way or another. But we taste it, we see it, we handle it, and we behold his glory. That's what John said. He said, we've seen it and we've beheld his glory. What we've seen and heard, we declare it to you. Now, the Lord's Supper is for that very same purpose, so that we would behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, when he's speaking to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says that when you behold the glory of Jesus Christ, you're transformed into his image. And so that's why it's so important. We don't need any more of our own image. We need his. And so God has designed this marvelous ordinance called the Lord's Supper so that the light of the glory of Jesus Christ shines. Now, the Apostle Paul also makes it clear that there are those who don't behold his glory. They can't behold his glory because the devil has blinded their eyes. Now, that is the greatest tragedy, not to be able to behold it, not to be able to acquire it. And even as we heard this morning, to understand how life-giving and helpful the righteousness of Jesus Christ is. And Paul says that our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, and they do not believe the gospel. Why? Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And that's why we preach Jesus Christ, is so that the glory of God would shine. And so we experience this wave after wave after wave after wave of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Thank you for doing that. And so when we see the glory of Jesus Christ, it has a powerful effect on our lives. We see the world as less dear, and we'll be less dependent upon it for our joy, and we'll have a river of living water flowing within our souls that'll bubble up into everlasting life. And while we go through this world and there are dangers and toils and snares and distresses and cares and fears in this world, but God has given us a holy place to run to. It's into his righteousness. The Lord's Supper is to take us there, to taste it, to see it, and to hold it in our hands and be reminded of his glory. So let's observe the Lord's Supper. I'm going to pray for the bread. Lord, we recognize your Son as living bread, the only bread that satisfies our souls. Lord, as we eat this bread, that you would give us such a clear sense of the bankruptcy of the breads of this world and our exclusive need for your bread. Lord, that you would give us such a sense of it this morning, that you are the bread of life. Amen.